I had a married man propose that I'd be his second wife. I don't know what about me reads second wife.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Pink Matter, a podcast that discusses the modern woman. I'm Sam Ray.
And I'm Jamila Jarrell. Follow us on SoundCloud and Twitter at The Pink Matter, and we are also available on iTunes and Audioboom.
Also, follow us on our personal Twitters at Love Saray
and at Jamila Jarrell. And don't forget,
on Wednesdays, we listen to Pink Matter.
That was good, guys. That was good, man. I was impressed, man. That was good.
So I saw this question on, I think it was on Instagram, and it asked, would you give one guy 20 chances or 20 guys one chance in terms of relationships, I guess?
I probably would say 20 guys one chance, because you just know. And I think that that question, what it's really masking, and if you go and you go and you go and you go, you're going to hit respectability politics. Mm-hmm. And someone's going to be like, oh my God, so that means you've dated 20 guys, and then what will people call you? They'll call you a person that's dated 20 guys. I mean, I don't understand what the question is.
I don't see the point of giving one guy 20 chances. At what point? Why isn't he dead yet? Like, I don't understand.
Does he have learning differences? I mean, what? Why does he need 20 chances?
It makes no sense. I don't, even more than like two or three chances, I just don't see the point. Like, you're not the first person to understand how a relationship goes.
The woman has to look at herself and be like, am I a casino? How is someone coming into my life and just doing probabilities and chances? And no.
20 chances is a lot of chances.
A lot of chances. And those are 20 ways that you've been disrespected, 20 ways that you've...
And you've just said, yeah, I'm going to keep going.
I'm going to keep going because of love, or because, you know, a real woman sticks by her man as he grows, even though he wouldn't stick by you. Would he give you 20 chances?
Really? That after that one chance, that's it. He's gone.
Right. Even just the sense that of even having to give you one chance, he's gone because, you know, no, I need a real woman. So you wouldn't even get one chance. That's what's funny. You wouldn't even get one chance, but you're expected to give him 20 chances. 20 chances for someone to make you look like one mumu. I think so.
It's just common sense. Like, I just don't get it. Like, I feel like when people say, oh yeah, you have to make it work, and I understand everything needs work. But at the same time, you have common sense. Like, you just don't do certain things. So if you're doing certain things, like, you're not the first person to experience a relationship. You're not the first person to say, oh, it's trial and error. No, relationships have been and gone on. They've succeeded. Some have failed. And you have to see, why do they succeed and why do they fail?
Yep.
You continue to give someone 20 chances, you are going to fail. That is it. There's no doubt about it.
You give them 20, so why don't you give them 30 or 100? You've just wasted 20 moments in your life on someone who wants someone that needs 20 chances. Don't get me wrong, like, we are all growing. We never have, or, you know, we've never fully learned. Learning is a journey and unlearning is a journey, all of that stuff. But 20 chances to me is ridiculous. Like, that's just ridiculous. And like Chimamanda would say, like, if you flipped it around, like we've just said, would he give you 20 chances? And most guys out here aren't giving women 20 chances because they're expecting you to be perfect, whereas they are allowed to be a work in progress. You need to be perfect. You need to be able to cook and clean. You need to have a degree. Mm-hmm. You need to have a hot body without being a thought. You need to have this. You need to have that. Whereas they
experience
can just come.
Whilst being a virgin. You have to have all of that.
You have to have all of that, whereas they can be a diamond in the rough. That's their favourite.
Absolute bullshit. I saw someone say something like, why do I have to wait for you to grow to be a man when I was already a woman when you found me? Like,
I'm already
a woman. I'm already at my stage. I'm already there. So why are you still waiting to stop doing this and stop doing that? Like, you're not the first person.
It's crazy to me. I feel like it's the analogy that comes to my head is like having, you've prepared a fancy dinner. You've prepared like the sickest dinner ever. Like, you've got the table laid out. You look sick. You're wearing like the nicest dress ever. Everything. You just look bad. And then the guest that you've invited doesn't even know how to eat at the table. They don't know, like, they literally, food is falling out of their mouth.
When they're cutting and steak, the table's shaking.
Table's shaking and they're talking with their mouth open and food is flying in your eye. And they even have the cheek to criticize what you have done.
Mm-hmm.
That's what a lot of men are like to me. Like, you've built a life, you've done so well for yourself and you're doing well for yourself. Even if there are things that you still need to work on, there are always things we need to work on, but you've done all of these things and one goat will now come and be like, oh yeah, well,
it's just not good
enough. I don't think it's good enough for him. Look at Sana Lathan. Look at what she's doing. Do you know her?
Does she know you?
Does she know you?
She doesn't even know who you are. She doesn't know your name.
Would she have your time? oh, look at
she's
Halle Berry.
Established.
And they still, they wouldn't, none of these women that you're mentioning really care about you. They don't care about you. They don't know who you are. So go and brush your teeth. That's really it.
Anyway, hi guys, I'm Jamila Joie and I'm here with my guest co-host, Kelechi, hey. Or as some of you guys may know her, Kelechnikov. Did
yes,
I say that
yes,
right?
Yes,
oh my gosh,
yes.
I said it right. I said it right. I was, this whole time I came here on my way here like, how do I say it? I need to make sure I say it right because I hate not getting people's names right.
Yeah. No, it's Kelechnikov, yep.
How are you? What do you do? Tell people who you are.
So I'm Kelechi. AKA Kalashnikov, like the gun Kalashnikov.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
People don't see it at first and then they're like, yeah, they get it. And I'm an actress, personal trainer, and I've got a pole dance and twerk studio. And yeah, and that's pretty much it. And I just like to tweet lots.
We love your threads. We love your threads. You speak complete sense.
Thank you.
So you're... because I'll be joining this summer, by Yay! The way. Your pole training and mm-hmm. twerking class, what goes on there?
For me, it's not just about the pole. You know, it's not just about the pole fitness or the twerking or whatever. To me, it's just they're just vehicles to let more women come together within themselves and to come together with other women, like just to get to know each other. I feel that growing up, I've seen a lot of kind of tension between women, rightly so, because of the way that things have been in society. And I just think it's great to have a space where we can work through things and do things together, support each other and learn sick tricks and be sensual without men opening their mouths to say anything about it.
I think it's good how you unpack the stigma around pole dancing mm. and stuff like that, because people love to see it as, you know, just a stripper's kind of job.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Thing. But it makes you feel, I think it empowers you as a person.
Definitely.
Even me just watching it, it's like, yes, oh my God, she's twerking on the ceiling. Like, that is levels. That is amazing to me to just see people being able to do that. Mm. Like, it's not just about how guys may perceive it. It's about yeah. how you feel about yourself being able to climb a pole and do the splits and yeah. do all kinds of things. I think it's very, very empowering.
It's yeah, it's a real testament to strength, flexibility, creativity. There's just so much that goes into it. And it's frustrating when people think, you know, pole dance, strippers. Because historically speaking, pole dance, or the version that we've got, is quite far removed. But a pole dance began as Chinese pole acrobatics.
Okay.
So centuries ago, men would do it in China as a way of showing their prowess, their physical prowess. So it's done as a way to attract mates and to be like, wow, look how strong I am. And obviously it evolved, and it was taken, and now it's what we know it as with strippers. But not every stripper pole dances and not every pole dancer is a stripper. And I think people need to understand that difference, because there are pole strippers who've never touched a pole before. They're making all their money, never touched a pole in their life. And there are people who pole dance who never want to strip. They just enjoy pole dancing yeah. as a sport. So I think it's important for people to know the difference. And having people come to hen parties and birthday parties and stuff has really showed me how we as women, we look down on things that are sexual, because we feel that, oh, you know, to appreciate and to embrace anything that's sensual or sexual is to be a hoe. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have much value. So the first time people come to a class and they realise just how physically demanding it is, they go, oh my God, nah, I have a new respect for strippers, because I didn't know it was this hard. Wait, so when you saw them pretty much levitating on the ceiling, you thought that you could just get up from
That's
your bed?
That's what I always say. People think that, oh, I can give up school to go strip.
Like, no, you can't. Babes, you really can't.
You can't.
Babes, you really, really can't.
You don't have the range.
You don't. And I just think, wow, you really think it's that easy? I mean, anyone can learn anything, but let us be serious. And usually the people who are saying it, just like, but you're struggling to bend down to tie your shoelace, and you're talking about you
climb up the stairs and get tired,
right? Like, someone asks you to run for a bus, you're getting dizzy, but you want to talk about, oh yeah,
I feel a bit triggered.
We're like, yeah, I'm gonna quit school and go be a stripper. Like, it's the way that people say it so offhand. I'm just thinking, the strippers I know, the exotic dancers I know, they spend 3 hours a day at least training before they go up on the pole and do what they're doing in the evening. So they deserve all of those dollars that you see them with. They deserve every single one.
You would not get a dime. You would not get a dime. They'll just be like, what is this person doing?
What are you doing? Is she okay? Is she having a seizure? Like, they won't take you seriously. So I think that what my classes actually do is to help us as women who aren't so marginalized in that respect to respect and support what these women are doing. Mm-hmm. When you understand and you can watch a video and be like, my God, I know how much strength it takes to do that. You're retweeting it as, wow, this is incredible, as opposed to, I guess this is what guys like, you know, when there's a real girl at home reading her books. And
nobody cares about
to...
you real girls.
No one cares about you real girls. No one cares, pick me.
So acting and director, I know I saw you on BBC Two. Mm-hmm. How was that?
That was hell, literally. Like, they called it what, Special Forces Ultimate Hell Week. It was literally hell. It was horrible. So you were deprived of food. The only thing they wouldn't deprive you of is water, but you were deprived of food and sleep, and you were asked to do like the hardest like tasks ever. But at the same time, it's the best thing I've ever done in my life. Like, if I hadn't done that, I don't think I would have opened my studio, because I was able to go there and see that there are things that I was physically and mentally capable of doing that I wouldn't be challenged to do in Peckham or Bermondsey. Like, it just wouldn't happen. But being taken out of my comfort zone, I discovered that I had so much more to give as a person. So I came back with a fresh mindset, and I just thought, you know what? There's no such thing as failing. Just go and get what you want. If you don't get it the first time, go again. Mm. And yeah, so it really, really helped doing that. But obviously it came with its weirdness. So I make it to episode 3, and the next morning after episode 3 was aired, a guy called me, a white man calls me, and he says, I watched you on that show and I thought you were great. Really, really strong. I really commend what you've done. But you know what I'm about to say, I hope you don't think it's rude, but you know, I'm a married man, happily married, and I'm 60 years old, happily married man, but I've always had the fantasy of being dominated by a black woman. Is that something that you offer?
Why would you say that? Who says that? I don't get the minds of people, because where do you get from being somewhere like that to, I'd really like to be dominated by a black woman? Where's the correlation? How did it link?
And it gets me, because on the Special Forces show, my hair's looking like just a struggle. Like, my hair was looking like the epitome of struggle. And I was dirty all of the time in mud. I was miserable. I was crying my eyes out. I'm in uniform. I don't get what in there said, I'm dominant. I'm going to dominate you. And so you watched the episode. It finished at 10 p.m. You got to 9:23 a.m. the next morning. You didn't even have your breakfast, I don't think. And you
didn't
picked even
up brush your teeth.
Nothing.
You were just like,
let me just go and call.
That is absolutely ridiculous. We'll talk about this in the latest topic here, but I just don't understand why you would get from somebody, you know, doing so much work, doing all of that, and then you're like, yeah. This is so sexy. I find it so weird what guys find sexy. Like, I just don't even get it anymore. Like, it makes no sense. Like, and that's how they be saying, oh yeah, find it sexy when, you know, you sit at home. How is that sexy? What is sexy about me sitting at home? There's nothing sexy about
it. Sitting at home, because the thing is power. When you look at all of this, is power. So that kind of guy, he watched that and he thought, yeah, I know that I actually have my power, but I want to pretend like I don't have my power. If you didn't have any power whatsoever, you would not find it a turn on for other people to dominate you. You really wouldn't.
It's true.
But you have to have power to play with the idea, to find it sexy that someone possibly could take your power from you. And so even in that was just the essence of male privilege. And I just thought, you need to come off my line. But again, you know, having to be nice to these people that are violating you, you know, calling my phone, like, he said, I've gone on your website, I've seen what you do. Oh-ho! So you've gone on my website, you've seen what I do, twerk, pole dance, you see that there are classes, a timetable, yet you asked me about dominating you. Where was that?
The services, on the services, where did it say I'm a dominator? I'm dominatrix, like, right. Where does it say that?
Where? And the thing is, there are women out there, incredible women out there, who are dominatrixes, and you can go to them, and they will, because they're professionals, that's what they do as a career, they know the boundaries and everything. Go to them. But you thought, no, let me just message someone who I've just seen go through hell on this show. That's the person I want. So I said to him, no, I don't offer that. He said, well, don't you worry, I just thought I'd ask. Well,
he's,
I hope
he's happily married. Are you sure
are you really sure is your wife there, can I speak to her?
Maybe I need a second opinion, right, because clearly you're not happily married.
If you're happily married, put her on the phone so I can say to her, oh girl, so what's the deal?
Should have married a black girl then, if you wanted to be dominated,
right? So yeah, it's really interesting. But yeah, so I got weird bits like that. But otherwise, it was just the best experience ever to have gone to South Africa to do that.
Oh, wow. I can't lie. If I was deprived of food in front of Reggie Yates, it would have been a whole different story. Whole different story. They wouldn't have to air it at all. Okay, you guys know the drill. You send your dilemmas to pinkmattercontacts@gmail.com or curiouscat.me/thepinkmatter. And yes, Samantha has given birth to a beautiful baby boy.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm thanking you on her behalf. So she won't be on the show for I don't know how long yet. We haven't decided. So you guys know you can still email and DM us if you would like to be a guest co-host, and I will get in contact with you if you have been successful. It's like an application. So yeah, also businesses, if you'd like to be aired on the show and advertise, please email pinkmattercontacts@gmail.com for further inquiries. So let's get started with the show.
Want to achieve that celebrity look you've been eyeing on Instagram? Look no further. Hairs provides quality luxury virgin hair extensions and is one of the biggest luxury hair companies in the UK that ships internationally. Donned by the likes of Lyra Galore, Letitia Grace and other beauties, you too can achieve that goddess-like look. Luckily for you, we have a discount code for our listeners. So head over to hairs.co and use the discount code PINKMATTER to get coins off your purchases.
So, on today's episode, Pink Matter asks, do you think love can be unconditional?
Yes. At its core, love is unconditional. Love is a perpetual state of positivity and acceptance. So, in its core, it's unconditional, but we as human beings, we have to obviously have conditions in order to protect ourselves from other human beings.
Yeah.
Because however purely you might feel for someone, they might not feel that purely towards you, or they might act in such a way that it doesn't allow for your purity or the purity of your affections to kind of penetrate them. So there's a book I read a while back called Perfect Love, Imperfect Relationships. And that's pretty much what it talks about. The fact that love is perfect, but we as human beings are imperfect. So we can't show the love constantly because you might have a bad day. You might love someone to heaven and back. But if you have a bad day and they approach you sideways, you might just pop off. You might snap. That doesn't mean that you stop loving them, but you're not showing it in that moment. And I don't know, when it comes to like romantic relationships, whether I would say that that's unconditional. Like, I just think of, okay, if I had a partner and, you know, I love them very much, there are still certain things that I'm willing to cut that relationship off for. Yeah. Like, I'm willing to do that. I feel that I can have unconditional love for myself and for my children and for my family to a certain degree. But I think after myself and children, I'm not sure about people.
I think, for me, I think love is love itself. Love, the noun, is something that can be unconditional. But love is an action. Love is a choice. Yeah. Is never unconditional. I don't even think parental love is unconditional. I feel like even for my mum, I know there's something that I could possibly do that would stop her from loving
definitely.
Me. So I can't speak as a mother, obviously, but I know for a fact if I did something to my mum and it was very extreme, she could stop loving me. And that is why I think the only unconditional love comes from yourself. And even then, I feel like that's where depression comes into. Because then when you're depressed, you don't necessarily, quote unquote, love yourself. Because at that point, your emotions come into play. Mm. So when your emotions come into play, there's no longer that unconditional feeling of, I love myself, I want myself to be better, I want myself to do this. Because all you see right now is a whole, it's like a mask.
Yeah.
So it stops your actual love for yourself to come in. So I don't think love itself is ever really unconditional.
It depends, because I think if you go back to the parent analogy, your parent doesn't stop loving you, but they can put boundaries in place, and boundaries are also part of love. And I think that's what people fail to understand at times, that a lot of guys, I feel, people generally, not just guys, they want unconditional love. So they, to give them that safety of, I can do absolutely anything to you and you will continue to love me regardless. I can continue to love you as a person. You can't switch off love because it's a never-ending state, yeah. But I can put boundaries in place so we no longer communicate. That doesn't mean that I still don't love you. I just have to love myself more and say, you need to stay over there because of what you have done. Very rightly so, love is an action. Love is a doing word. So you can say that you love people as much as possible, but if you're not showing it in your actions, then do you truly love them? And then when you think about depression, I think that even in that case as well, I like to think of unconditional love or self-love as just a clear blue sky. It's there always, but depression come in some forms as clouds. Mm. So you don't always see it, but it's there. And so the work that you do with self-care, with, you know, in terms of therapy and, you know, seeing the right people and building a support network, that's what you do to clear the clouds away, because the unconditional love is there.
It's regardless. Always there, you just don't see it.
Yeah, you just don't see it. Because if you don't love yourself, who will? And the very fact that you're still here is a testament that somewhere inside yourself, you love yourself. That's one thing. Like the fact that you're still striving to be alive, the person that you're striving to be alive with is yourself, because that's the one person you've got.
You were born, yeah. That's how you're born, that's how you die.
Yeah. So I think that's interesting. But I agree. I think with parental, because you know, there are different types of love as well. When we're talking about agape in terms of the familial love, and then eros. The more sexual, intimate, kind of romantic type love, romantic love. And that's the one that I think society has played with it so much that people don't really know what they feel like anymore, what they care about anymore.
You know what? I don't think, well, that's probably because I don't really see it happening, but I don't think romantic love can ever be unconditional.
It can't.
Because you can never, because with love, what comes with it is trust and respect, and we forget that. So when it comes to loving someone, like even when you're saying your marital vows, it says to love and to hold, etc., etc., and it's supposed to be till death do us part. Mm-hmm. However, there are certain things that will break that trust, that will break that respect, that will ultimately break that love, because you can no longer understand the person that you thought you did. Mm-hmm. So in terms of romantic love, I just think this is always conditional. Like, there has to be conditions for it to exist. Otherwise, you will never want to marry that person. Yeah. Everyone says, why do you want to marry this person? I love them because they make me happy, because they keep me going. Mm. And when they stop keeping you going, when they stop making you happy, that love will cease to exist.
Yeah, because those were the conditions of what you cared about. Toni Morrison says that the most dangerous thing that's ever happened to society, or one of the most dangerous things that have ever happened to society, is the idea of romance and the idea of beauty. I think she says those two things, and I think that when we look at romantic love, those two things are inextricably linked. Like, people, you fall in love with someone from the outside, or you like them from what you see on the outside, never really getting to their core, because the core is messy. Asking someone to really accept you for who you are
on the inside,
it's hard, because it's a daily battle for us as individuals to even accept ourselves. And we're asking another person with their own whatever to try and accept all of the bits that you deem ugly.
Mm-hmm.
You're asking someone to accept all of this. And for some people, that's just simply too much. So we get into relationships and we pretend. We have major weddings, massive weddings for representatives of ourselves. Yeah. Like, so it's your representatives that are saying yes to have and to hold, not your true selves, which is why I always say to people, like, engagement is a stage that you should enjoy. If you are engaged to someone, use that, utilize it. Don't just use it as a stage to plan a wedding. Use it as a stage to really, really get down to the nitty-gritty
to know them completely and honestly.
Yeah, because that's important. Get counseling. Go to couples counseling before you go and get married, because I'm seeing too many people after, 2 years, 4 years of marriage, things are going left
because they never understood. That's the thing. No, like, you can say you know everyone's background, you know everyone's feelings, but there's things inside ourselves that we don't accept.
Yes.
And because some of that will come out in certain circumstances. Yeah. And when that comes out, that other person won't understand it because they never seen it. You won't really understand because you yourself, you've never seen it.
Yeah.
So it's like, I think long engagement is actually quite good because it helps you it's like, I don't know. The moment you get engaged is like a triggering point for you to now understand that I'm going to get married. And at that point, it's like everything about you, I don't know if it's self-sabotage or what, but you just start coming out. Everything comes out. How you are as a person, how you treat people, how everything you do, it just starts coming out. And people don't understand that. Why is it only coming out now?
Yeah. And it's coming out now because it's just like, oh, we have the intention of spending our lives together, ideally. Because up until that point, you always have this idea that, who knows what's going to happen. Yeah. And now someone said, actually, I want to do this and with you for the long term. And so what you start doing is putting out all of these things. Oh, are you sure you still want to do it? Are you sure you still want to do it? But I guess if you're emotionally healthy, those things won't come out, because ideally you would have been showing who you are all along and asking them to see you as who you are, meet you in the middle. Like, I'm engaged, and I've been engaged since...
Thanks.
I've been engaged since 2015. Okay. And people don't ever stop asking me, so when's the wedding? And initially, in 2015, I was like, yeah, it's going to be 2017. Then I opened the pole dance studio and I sat down and I thought about it. And I thought, since that 2015 to where we are now, I've learned so much more about my partner to what I knew of him before. Like, it's almost like exactly what we said. It's, you see someone completely brand new, the bits that you didn't see before. And then you have to really think to yourself, is this the person that I want to be with long term? Do I want to deal with these little annoying things every day, or, you know, frequently here and there for the rest of my life? Do I want to do that?
It's almost like for the lack of a better word, it's almost like a trap. So like, it's like being in a forest and you just walk in, and then to one day you finally make that step and you're in the trap.
You're in it.
And at that point, you're trying to understand, how do I get out of this trap? Can I continue going through this forest?
Yeah.
But you're still there until you get married, and that's when you get out of the trap.
Right.
So I think it's a good idea.
So
actually,
I think I really recommend long engagements, but I think growing up having a Nigerian background and just the onus that Nigerians put on weddings, like, it's such a massive deal. It's an enormous industry. So people just want you to get to that wedding stage. They want to come, they want to eat jollof rice, but they're not thinking about your welfare, your wellness in the long term. So every time someone asks, I'm just like, but are you paying for it? If you're not, then you chill, chill.
If you got the money, then we can go like today if you want.
But otherwise, let us just chill. Because it's, apart from the finances, it's just being at a stage where you feel that you are ready. And I just will be damned if I stand in front of that altar and say those vows with maybe, if, you know, conditions, asterisks in my disclaimers in my head going,
I mean, if he wants to try me, I mean, you can
we can till death do us part, but it ain't me dying. So, things like that. Like, it saddens me the number of married men who I say this in my Insta stories, the number of married men who send me DMs, who try to move to me on a really sly vibe on social media. Like, they've got it written in their bios, married man, father of rare. But you're in my DMs talking about, oh, I just would love to taste some of that chocolate. But if no one could know.
I had a married man propose that I'd be his second wife. I don't know what about me read second wife.
This is it.
Like, I don't know. Maybe do I look like a dickhead or
what?
He was like, to me, his wife is okay. And I was like, okay, that's fine with your wife. But do I look like this type to be a second wife? Like, I think I was 19 at the time.
Wow.
So I was like, so I'm 19 years old and you think already I'm destined to be a second wife at this young age?
No.
It was, they are so cheeky. It's unbelievable.
They're audacious. And I think that's what you said is so important, because that is the first thing you think about. What about me has sent you the message that I would entertain such a thing?
So I can end it right now. Yeah. So I can stop doing it.
Yeah, so I can, whatever vibes I'm sending out, whether it's Bluetooth, whether it's Wi-Fi, let me cut it dead. Let me cut it dead now. But that is where the issue is, because they do that and we look at ourselves and say, oh, what did I do? What have I done? No, it's them, because you're just here.
You think, why am I attracting this kind of person? Why do I keep attracting this kind of person? You know what? Yeah, crazy people are inherently attracted to people that are normal.
Yes.
That is what it is.
Yeah. It's, again, we come back to boundaries. They like people who they see with boundaries and they're like, let me go and see if I can mess it up.
Let me go
mess it up. Let me go and see. Yeah. And you know, it's not one married guy, two, three. They just come in their droves. And I just think, wow, like, what is it about me that says I am a homewrecker or what? What is it that
like,
you're looking...
Like, I want to be a homewrecker. Yeah, I want to wreck your home. Yeah, I really
want
to be
like,
there.
I want that. I want to hurt another woman. That's what I want to do with my life. How did you see that? But then it's not about me. It was never, ever about
it's
me.
Always it's about them.
It's about them. Mm-hmm. You know, it's about them and what... And their egos and the fact that they see a life, someone living their life, being vibrant. And what's funny is that... It's usually the guys who have quiet wives. Mm-hmm. I don't see a guy who has a woman that I can see from the picture as being loud and effervescent. No, it's always guys who have quiet wives. And
quote unquote submissive.
Yeah. But so after all that submission that you were quoting and you
that
were preaching.
You required,
yeah,
that you decided for a wife, yeah, you still
but
want
now
other.
You want other. You still want a woman that will challenge you. You still want a woman that will say, well, no, what the fuck? But at home, you want to feel like king, but yeah, you still want to be out there doing
nonsense.
You don't
want to be argued against. Like, I don't know. It's a weird dynamic.
Yeah.
I've got, you know what? I take back what I said. I do think love can be unconditional. Mm. The reason why I say that is because when people decide to have children, it's a selfish choice. Mm-hmm. For me, I think it's selfish. Yeah. However, when the child is born, the love the child feels for its parent is completely unconditional. Even though... Obviously, the mother may give, you know, milk or whatever, mm-hmm, whatever. At that point, it's pure. It's completely pure. The love that a child feels for a parent, mm, up until, I guess, you know, when you start being bad, I guess. Mm. But at that point, it's always going to be pure. Even if you have abusive parents, it's, mm, still a pure kind of love. And I think that's the only love in itself that does not become, that well, doesn't become, but that isn't tainted, that initial love you feel as a child.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, that's actually known as a symbiotic relationship, a symbiotic dynamic, in that it's the same relationship that a child has with a parent is the same relationship that maybe a pet, like a dog, would have with its owner, in that the dog, as well as the child, are aware that you provide their survival. So it's not so much love, but they know that they've got no choice but to rely on you, mm, until a certain stage. With dogs, you know, they say that a dog is a man's best friend because they rely on you wholly. They've got nobody else.
They don't even
trust others. Yeah, they don't have anybody else. They've just got you to provide them food, provide them water, mm, take them for walks, clean them. You are their sole person. You're the person that keeps them alive. You sustain them. And in return, they give you their loyalty, what you deem as love, and you give them care. So it's a mutually agreeable dynamic. So that's why I guess people enjoy having dogs and things like that, because they care about, or what you see as care, they give themselves to you wholly, because, mm, you know, you're the only person that they've got. Same as a child. A child can't go anywhere else. Mm. You're the only person that they've got, up until a certain stage where they start being like, you're annoying me.
Stop talking to me. Yeah. Oh my gosh, you talk too much.
Right. Because, and usually that starts happening around the age of what, between 12 and 15, because suddenly it's not symbiotic anymore. They can start thinking that I could survive by myself in certain respects. They know they can't do it wholly on their own. That's
but
why they get rude.
It.
Yeah, they get rude on certain respects, but they know that you still provide that up until what? Boom, they hit 16, 18. Then it's like, no, I know I can fend for myself now.
You know why I even thought of that? I was thinking of, rest her soul, Victoria Climbier. Mm. She was, I think, early 2000s, she was abused by her guardian. Mm. She was taken by her guardian from a country in Africa. Cannot remember the country. It was definitely West Africa. Mm. Don't know if it was Sierra Leone, but she was brought here by her guardian, and her guardian and her boyfriend were abusing her. Mm-hmm. However, all I can remember is her smile. Despite she had burns all over her, mm-hmm, face and everything, but she was still smiling.
Yeah.
And to me, it was just like, that was so pure in itself for her to still be smiling, despite the fact that people that she that was supposed to care for her, yeah, still hurt her. They abused her. She was sleeping in the bath. Like, her corpse was, I think they said her body was shaped in a way that it was basically, she was just used to that position because, yeah, she was sleeping in a bath.
Yeah.
So for me, that's why I just thought, yeah, I think that's the only kind that can ever truly, you can say that, yeah, it is unconditional, because despite everything they did to her, yeah, she was still happy. She still, you know, loved them. She still cared for them, yeah, for some reason.
Well, that's, you know, when you look at that, that's the beauty of childhood, in that in childhood there is endless hope. And I think that that's what happens when you, that's what makes me the most sad when I look at children who have been abused, and having been someone who went through abuse in my childhood, mm-hmm, that's it's not the physical acts that are traumatic. They're cruel, yes, but the worst thing that you've done to that person is that you've taken away. You've taken away that child's hope. That's what you've taken away.
You've taken away their innocence. Yeah. I think they thought that was good with the world. You've taken it.
Yeah, that's it. You've taken it. And all of us now, when we do meditation, like when we do yoga, when we do all of these things like mindfulness and wellness, and we do all of that, what we're trying to do effectively is revert back to a state where of childlike behavior, where all we see is good in everything. We see good in everything and we are endlessly hopeful, because what happens is as you grow older, all of that starts getting taken away from you. You see things as just gloomy and you're disillusioned and jaded. And so we're doing all of this stuff. We're now trying to revert back to that state so we can find the good in everyone and everything. Whereas children are born with that innately. They are born with
that.
They
just like seeing everything. You know, I'm sure when we were younger, we all thought London was very sunny and very beautiful. For some reason, I seem to remember London is very sunny and beautiful, but it's not. When you get older, you realise everything is cloudy. The concrete is grey and dirty, with gum all over the place. Yeah. Like, people spit everywhere, the buses are dirty, everything's dirty. Poo. But as a child, you think, I could touch anything, I could lick anything, I could do everything, because it does not feel, because I have that innocence, because no one has taken it from me, it does not feel like, I can get hurt.
Yeah.
And it's a weird kind of feeling, because I think a lot of mothers say it's scary when your child is born, because the safest place for them was inside your belly. When they come out, they're exposed to everything.
There are hazards everywhere, and children don't know danger. That's it. When you know danger, you stop yourself from doing things. Like, I'm not going to do that. Like, and then we start convoluting danger with risk. We start thinking that they're one and the same, when actually risk is very, very different to danger. You have to take risks in life to get things out of them. But we just think everything's dangerous, and children don't have that. That's why they can go and put their hand in a socket or do whatever, because they're curious as well.
That's why they love roller coasters so much, because me, I can't do it anymore. I can't do it at all. I can't get on a roller coaster
when I know that a human is operating it downstairs. And
I know they could stop, they could die right then and there, and not be able to do it.
They could have a hangover from the night before out with their mates, and then you're gonna throw me upside down 200 feet in
the
air.
But a child would be screaming like, oh my god, this is so much fun.
No,
you learn so much more when you get older. You just seem to, I don't know, I think I love when kids are just at that stage. And you know that stage when they're babbling? I love that stage so much.
And you just want to protect them, because you're just like, oh, you don't know the fuck people who are waiting for you in
life. They're waiting to fuck your shit up. They're waiting for you to get hurt. They just like it. Yeah. I don't know.
And you just want to protect them. And I understand why parents want to keep their children as children for so long, even can evidently see that their children are growing up, because you just want to keep them innocent for that much longer. So it's love is such an interesting word, because you look at it and then there are other terms that actually would be more fitting to that thing which is being described. And I think that's what we need to do more of, educate ourselves on the different terms for the things that we deem as love. Because, you know, some people put up tweets like, oh, this is how my man shows that he loves me, and they've got 300 text messages from him in one night.
Don't fucking text me 300 times, okay? You will get blocked. If you text me, oh my gosh, no, there's no way someone can love you if someone is texting you 300
times.
My phone could have died.
What? Babe, I hope you're having a good night.
Babe,
I'm missing you.
Babe, oh my god, I miss you. Oh, can you wake up already? Can you fucking go sleep? Like, what is wrong with you?
And you're just like,
That's joblessness.
That's joblessness and possessiveness. That person is going to abuse you later on. What is this nonsense?
Keep texting me, keep calling me.
I
can't sleep.
Tell O2 to lock off your line. That is it. Bugaboo. What? No, it's there are so many different things.
The concept of love is very complex.
Yeah.
It's not just a noun, it's not just an action. It's a choice as well. You choose to love people. Yeah. So a lot of it, I don't know, it's so complex in the sense that you can't ever really understand it. It's not something that can be understood by just one person. I think at one point, I'm sure they've determined that love is something to do with chemical imbalances in the brain. I think it's that too, because it can't be something that people would do because they really, really want to, if that makes sense. Even though it is a choice, I don't think people love because they really, really want to, because love can be painful as well.
You know, on the type of people you love and the situations that life throws at us. But when we look at animals, you know, because I love me some David Attenborough, you look at animals and they go through the same stages that we go through, and they care and they protect their children because it is a natural state to protect that which you have created. And, you know, they form relationships as well, you know, with each other in order to mate and procreate and things like that. But even after the procreation, some animals still stay together. Because lifelong bonds aren't synonymous to just us as humans. Yeah, we could see it.
The
yeah,
board. It's everywhere
because wherever there's life, there's unity. If cells come together, that's why we're here, because cells decided came together and stay together, mm-hmm. and then they split and they came together again and split. So, it tells me therefore that love, is one and the same with creation, and it just carries on whether you like it or not. It just carries on, and it's us that we try to get in the way of it by overthinking it and doing the most.
Love is also is as much as simple as it is complex.
Yes, yeah, and I think people go into relationships expecting love to be enough. Love will never be enough.
It would never be enough
ever,
because if love was enough, then the world would be good.
Right. Right.
The world, no one would be starving.
No.
No one would be, you know, there won't be famine. There won't be people, you know, thirsty as hell. There wouldn't be people dying every day if love was enough.
Exactly.
Love needs everything else to exist.
It needs you to actually do practical work. So when people, you know, are in relationships, not just married, but even in friendships, you know, I can like you as a person and we can be in a friendship, but for the friendship to work, both of us
need to put in work.
Yeah, we have to put in work.
It's
it can't just be me all the time texting you. And it doesn't work like that. It can't be me all the time going, oh yeah, let's go out somewhere and I'll pay or I'll do this. Like, friendships require, as in any relationship, it requires reciprocity, and that's what keeps it going. And so when people talk about, oh, I just fell out of love, well, when did you because one of you stopped doing the work. Which one of you was it? Was it both of you?
Was it them? And that did that just prompt you to stop as well?
Yeah.
Like, it happens in life.
Yeah.
So we need to take a step back, I guess, out of ourselves kind of thing, and just witness love around us. I think that's the kind of thing. You need to witness love in other people first before you can understand it in yourself. Because for me, I've seen how love can be destructive. I've seen how love can ruin a person's life, and all because they just don't want to let go.
Mm.
And I've seen how love can create life and create, like, beauties like my niece and nephew and people like that. So I've seen both sides, and I've seen what it can do. But at the same time, because I know all this, I know, even though I can't say I know what I'm going to do once that love comes for me, because once love comes for me, it could fuck me up. I could be finished.
Yeah. But you won't ever. Like, true love can only make you grow. Like, I honestly believe that. Like, and when you love yourself, you know what love should feel like.
Yeah.
So I think that's the main thing. Going outside to look for love, that's the first danger. But I love myself. Now I've done a lot of work to get to where I am, where I love myself. So if someone isn't showing me the kind of love that I'm showing, I'll be like, nah, I'm good. I'm all right.
It's not enough. Because if it's not enough,
nah. So if you're coming at me left and telling me that you love me, but you're making snide comments all the time, or every time you've got something negative to say about the things that I'm doing, that's not love. Because I wouldn't talk to myself.
I wouldn't make myself feel like that ever.
Right. Right. So if you're not making me feel good, bye.
And though I must say, even though people have different, you know, quote unquote love languages, at the same time, at its core, love is still something that can be, you can see it.
Yeah.
It's not something that's like invisible. You can see love in everything you do. You see love in the way you treat others. You see love in the way you act around others, what you do, what you say. You see love in everything.
Yeah.
So it can be seen. It isn't invisible at all.
At all. At all.
Okay. Well, that's love for you guys. So for the second topic of today, Pink Matter discusses, is it street harassment or just being friendly? So what do you think?
It's always street harassment. It's always.
You know what? It's like I'm conflicted. I'm like in between both. Like, I can't really, like, for me, okay, I won't even say as an attractive woman, because as a woman, if you go out at least, let's say you go out 4 times in the week, there cannot be a time where you do not get approached to smile or approached to, oh, look happy, or just approach in general. And it gets annoying. And I know guys don't seem to understand that. Oh, but it's just like, guys just want to talk to you. I don't give a fuck if they want to talk to me. Why do you want to talk to me? Do I look interesting to you?
Yeah.
Why should I smile? Am I a clown? I should be smiling every day. Like, are you? If I saw someone constantly smiling, I would think they're
be
weird
scared
as hell. Because what are you, especially in London as well.
Why are you smiling?
What is so happy? Have you seen the weather? Like, the planned services. Like, are you bees? There's no reason for me to constantly be smiling. And if, as a guy, I think they need to understand that you're not the first one. You're definitely the second one. You're probably not the third one. So think about how many guys are going to be approaching me, telling me to smile, and how annoying it gets. At what point do you decide that, okay, let me allow this girl, let me leave her alone?
But this is the thing. would you, as a guy, the way that you're telling me to smile, would you tell another guy to smile? That's what I want to know, because usually it's no. You're not going to walk up to another guy in the street and go, smile might not happen because you get thumped in your head. That's what would happen, because you wouldn't go and tell another guy that. You wouldn't go up to another guy and go and make friends.
I know guys like to derail from the conversation and say that, oh yeah, guys do get told to smile. That's bullshit.
No, they don't. They don't. They bullshit. Don't. It's, and like you said, it's simply derailment. They don't get told that at all. And they... You don't approach other men in the street to become friends with them. You don't walk up to them and be like, hey, what? Man's feeding you. I feel like we should be friends. Like, you don't ever do that. Can I get your number? Because I just want us to maybe play Grand Theft Auto together. Just chill a couple times.
Maybe you need to start doing that.
Maybe you do, because I would like for a man to walk up to you men who love walking up to women and calling after women. I would love a man to do that to you so you would understand that it's not nice. It's not. I wouldn't want a woman to do it to you. I want a man to do it to you, because you need to understand from that dynamic of...
It doesn't make you feel safe right. at all. Like, and I know, I don't feel like some people have common sense. Again, I always say this, common sense is not common
at all.
So you could be walking at night, yeah, and this is what I do at night, walk in the middle of the street. So this one time I was walking in the middle of the street, yeah, and a guy started to approach me like, oh, you're right, love. Are you sick? You're talking to me in the middle of the night. Yeah. Do I look like I'm going to be all right? I will start speeding up. I will run home if I have to, because do not speak to me when I clearly don't feel safe enough to walk on the side of the road.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're trying to, you're basically, it's like you're threatening to me. To me, it's a threat.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I don't feel safe anymore now that you've spoken to me. And then when you start approaching me, obviously I'm going to back the hell away from you.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't seem to understand that.
They
though.
Don't get that. And, you know, you get drunk men. I was coming back from actually the Special Forces Ultimate Hell Week party, and standing near Liverpool Street, and a drunk guy was walking by, and he tried to, like, stroke my legs. He's like, oh, you're beautiful. And the slap I gave him, his head spun, and I slapped him vigorously. I slapped him across the face, because don't ever touch me.
It's quite triggering as well.
And it was a reflex action, because it just thought, how dare you? I just thought, how dare you touch me? Like, I don't know you from anywhere. And he came from, like, the corner as well. Obviously, don't go around slapping people, because you never know with these people. You don't know what they have and who they are and if they're okay. They can't be okay to be approaching you and touching you like that. But, that just was what happened to with me automatically, because it just made me so angry. Like, you shouldn't be doing that. Even building sites. So my fiance, he works on a building site as a project manager, and he knows that on their building site, if any man or any person is found calling out to a woman on the street, you get fired instantly. It's seen as a red card. Oh, wow. So you can get yellow cards, or you can get a red card. Yellow cards, things like, oh, you're not wearing your safety goggles, or they caught you not wearing your helmet, they'll give you two yellow cards. But a red card is something like, yeah, something like that.
Calling out to a woman.
Calling
that's
out to a
really
woman.
Good.
And so when that is actually what these these contractors, that's what they're doing now. They're taking it seriously, where they will fire you on the spot. As men, they might be in their rooms together in their offices going, oh, I don't see the big deal. We're just complimenting her. But the fact is, when it comes to legislation, they're doing what they need to do, and they will fire your clerk if they catch you calling out to a woman. My fiance told me just last week they fired a guy. He was working on top of the scaffolding. He was looking into an office where it was like women working there in Soho. And he was calling out to one of the girls going, hey, you're beautiful, you're beautiful. They sent one young email from their office. He was fired by the end of the day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So if it's just compliments, why is it that the government's now doing that? Making sure that building sites now do that.
It does not make people feel safe at all. And you know what it is? They also don't see nothing wrong, because it can be all fine and well to approach me. And if I say, you know, I'm not interested, that's it. It just ends there. The conversation can end there. It won't be harassment. But some people will literally use their car to block off the road.
Yeah.
They'll do all of that. Like, it's like, do you think I want to talk to you now that you've blocked off the road? That you're not making me feel like I'm okay. Like, if you start walking towards me, I will back off. I'll start screaming.
Yeah.
And now you're going to look like you're a rapist, because that's what you're trying. You're trying to make me feel unsafe in my own surroundings.
Yeah. And some women, they like that. So this is where the conflict actually lies, in that they like being called out to in the street, because it affirms their attractiveness. But what I always say about that is that it actually doesn't affirm your attractiveness, because they will call out to anybody.
Anyone.
Men just try their luck. Yes, I'm not saying that doesn't mean that you're not buff. You're peng. Cool. But they will call out to anybody. Because it's a game of numbers. Men are so used to being rejected when they do things like this, that they just think, well, if I call out to five, one of them.
I think, you know, I keep saying this, men have no standards. No. Like, women, even though we don't have standards as well, I can't lie, we need to start raising our standards a bit more, because the bare minimum is okay for some women, and I don't seem to understand why. But men have no standards, because that's why they say there's a difference between who we have sex with and who we wife. Yeah, I think that's very stupid, first of all. Because why is the person that... I feel like you don't respect even yourself. Be the same
you don't
standard. Even,
you don't respect yourself. So you will do stuff with one person and marry the other. So what does that say about you?
It makes no sense. Because what if that person got pregnant now? Oh. Is she not now basically the mother of your child? Is the standard...
I just have personal standards where I won't be rocking with anything that I don't think reflects me in the best light. So it's not... doing one thing with one person and wife and another. No, I just always want to see myself in the best
the life. Same standard across the board. With friendship, with it sex, with love.
It could be casual, it could be whatever, but if should anyone ever see me with you, they know that that's where I'm holding it, 100%.
I can't be hiding when I see you.
So I'm now going to be doing somersaults and rolls to get away so no one knows that I was seen with you. Nah, it's all right.
I need guys to understand, like, it's not every woman you need to move to. It's not every woman you need to speak to. If a woman says she's not interested, just take it as that. If she says she has a man and you think she doesn't, that means she's not interested.
Yeah.
If she says, if she gives you her number and you think it's fake, don't call it in front of her. Like, it makes everybody aggressive. Feel unsafe. Yeah. Like, it just makes you feel like, oh my gosh, what does this guy want from me? Like, why don't you just come and kill me?
Right. Just because come and kill me. Well, some have. Somehow, and we see numerous newspaper articles of women who have been killed for saying no. Because this is another thing, like, men think it's so simple and they go, oh, why don't you just say no? Why don't you just walk away? Because women are literally being killed for saying no. I don't want to give you my number, punch you in your head, punch you in your face. Like, so it's not safe. So we started coming up with the idea that we'll just give you a number, any number, just so you will go away. But now you're ringing the number. So, like,
what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do?
We're trying so hard to protect your fragile as fuck ego that now you're pushing it further. There's nothing else literally that can be done.
And
now,
why are we only respecting when we say we have a man? Why is it then? Like, why are you respecting that guy? Hello, I just said no to you. You're telling me, oh, because now that I have a man, now you're not interested.
Yeah.
And sometimes when I do have a man, you're still interested. Yeah. We can be friends. I don't need you as a friend.
What, so your man doesn't want you to have friends?
No, he doesn't.
Does your man have a gun?
Yes.
I have a gun. What? How did the conversation go left?
Listen, I've taken to holding my keys in between my fingers. I told you guys about my special mace that I've got made.
Good.
So that's chili flakes with bleach, with water. Mm. Don't play with me.
Good.
It is your death.
Good.
I've got so many types of things that I do in order to protect myself. And when you say, even when you give out a fake number, ladies, if you're giving out a fake number, only change the last digit.
Yeah.
That way, if they do call it, you could just be like, oh, sorry you got the wrong
number. Rather than that, just completely different numbers altogether.
Because you won't remember that number at all. And another thing I like nowadays is that they ask for your Snapchat instead, which it makes you feel a little bit more safe because you can give out your Snapchat, but you could always block them at the end of the day. But again, guys, you need to understand that it's not every woman that rejects you that is clapped. Because if I was clapped, you shouldn't have moved to me in the first place.
This is always
nobody begged you.
I'm not arrogant. I'm not a bitch. I'm just not interested. It's okay for me to not be interested. That's just what it is.
I tell you I'm busy. Oh, well, let me walk with you. Can you leave
that
me
is,
alone?
That is the one I find most annoying. The fact that I'm going somewhere and you're invading my space. Already you've invaded my space and now you continue to invade my space.
Do you think I've got the time? I'm running errands, you know. The shop is about to close and you're here telling me, oh, let me talk to you. I am busy. Do you think I just walk on the road for no reason? That I'm just jobless like you or something?
This is the thing. There are women who don't mind that. Once you've asked the question, can I talk to you? And someone says, no, leave it. That's it. The women who do like that will say yes. But everyone else, no. So if you, and you know, you often get, oh, but if I can't move to a woman in the street, then where am I meant to move to her? Where can I chat to her? If I don't approach her in the street, how am I meant to get a job?
Get a job.
I don't know.
You meet women there. Get a job.
I don't know. I mean, go to barbecues. Go hang out with your
friends. Go to the club.
Yeah, go somewhere.
Go in places and meet where people are there for social settings. When I'm walking, I'm not being social.
No.
I'm listening to somebody, you're interrupting Vice Cartel.
That's it. That is the worst bit.
Interrupting.
That is the worst
Vice
bit.
Cartel. In my head, I just got into like the maddest splits to twerk,
and now
you're interrupting
that. And I've had to get off the wall in my head to listen to whatever the hell you are saying.
Not even worth my time. You're not even buff. More time than not even buff. I can count on my hand how many buff guys.
Really?
Because
really?
You know
and,
what?
And I feel like if a buff guy did, I'd be like, are you a hoe?
These preconceptions you already have. So you're just like, I can't be bothered. Like, you just don't want to involve yourself. And I think even the girls that are interested, at the same time, it's still making them feel unsafe because you may look good and I may be interested, but at the same time, this bugaboo nonsense, this overbearingness is not going to make me want to be attracted to you. It's just going to make me feel like, ugh, this guy. Like, I have, even on, it's not even just street harassment, like, even on social media, on Snapchat, I swear to God, every single time I put up a snap, there is one guy, I don't know if he's the first person to watch or what.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what I've snapped. It doesn't matter if it's just my nose or whatever. He will come up straight away with eye emojis, like, for God's sake. I'm like, oh my days, this guy wants to kill me. Like, I've blocked him from watching my snaps because I'm just like, it's not every single day.
Yeah.
But every single time it's eye emojis. And you know what? Eye emojis is the equivalent of street harassment. I don't care what anybody says. Stop using eye emojis. It's enough. What are you even looking at? There's nothing to look at. Like, just say hi like normal people. Like, if you get aired, it's too bad, isn't it? Everyone gets aired.
Your eyes.
Every day, eye emojis.
No, at least eye emojis, I think I could handle to some degree. Like, I could have just put up a snap, like, with my partner. We've gone out to go and eat somewhere. And I open my snaps and my DMs and I'll see a dick pic. Nobody asked you. If I wanted it, because sometimes I joke with my friends, and usually when I say said nudes and I say that on Snapchat, I'm talking to my female friends, like,
always.
We exchange it and you give me life and I'm like, right, I need to try that. I need to just come from that angle next time because this is amazing. Where'd you get that lingerie from? Girl, you are fire.
But no one even pretty. Like, not pretty. Why
are you sending it to me? Where is your coconut oil? Because why is everything so grey? Like, grey.
You just don't even try. Oh. The angles are terrible. You don't try at all. Like,
there's no creativity. You just poke it out there and think that someone's meant to be impressed.
Those kind of people, the kind of people that, you know, when you have like a Twitter or Facebook and it's like upload a picture or take a account, that's them. They just take a picture and they upload it because clearly you have no self care. You don't even care about the way you look in front of people. Like, you don't care if your dick looks ashy. You don't care if it doesn't look long enough. You don't care if your dumb face is in the background. You just look retarded. Give me something to work with. Give me something that looks nice.
Oil yourself. Or even make a video. Make a video, have some good songs playing in the background, do some slow-mo, wear great underwear.
Some of you
the underwear that you're
checkered boxes.
Your Primani. No, stop it.
You send your dick pics with your dick just poking out of your boxes. Like, can you go away? Nobody wants your dick. That's harassment.
Stop sending me dick pics. That is harassment.
I don't want none of that. I don't want, even whenever I get like these egg accounts coming to DM me and stuff like that, so they'll ask me, what's your PayPal, something like that. I was like, are you sending the money now or
when?
And then they start responding. I'm like, okay, so then what? Did you just want conversation for free? This conversation isn't free.
No,
you got to pay for this, honey. You're telling me, oh, you need a guy to take care of you. Okay, here's my PayPal.
Pay.
Put the money in, then we can talk.
I mean, to me, this was a new phenomenon when I kept getting DMs on Twitter with, what's your PayPal? You're a goddess and you need to be worshipped. I want to give you all my money. I need you to tell me I'm pathetic.
Your wish list, Amazon wish list. That's when I made my first Amazon wish. I was like, listen, if you guys want to get with it, let's get with it. Otherwise, you're moving half-hearted. I'm not going to like it.
I mean, I'm just in this space now because, you know, I tweet about these, you know, social injustice and I do all of these things. But at the same time, I feel like my PayPal needs to be in my bio and so does my Amazon wish list. So should the spirit take hold of you in that way, you know where to go to bless me.
Pay me.
This is it. Because all of this DMing business, don't DM me. It's now in my bio. Don't talk to me. Just do that and then say, I am the person that just bought
£100 because £10 ain't gonna do shit.
No.
For nobody.
Nobody at all.
Three digits, B. If you want to talk, it's three digits. Yeah.
And then I'll be like, oh wow, okay, I'll open your message and I'll talk to you. Otherwise, don't talk to me.
Nobody wants to talk to you.
Don't talk to me.
I don't want your dick pics. I don't care if I need to be worshipped, okay? I don't give a fuck.
I worship myself. I'm good. Like, I'm fine.
I don't care if I'm a goddess.
I'm all right. You go away. Go away and go and put your picture on your account because egg accounts really stress me out. But I hear that Twitter doesn't even allow
mentions anymore. Yeah. But I don't think DMs. I've been trying to get that. Like, I'm trying to figure out how to do it. So I've had to close my DMs completely. Not completely, but to any people I follow because all the egg accounts would come and that's when the proposals come in and stuff like that. So I've had to close because it's like, okay, you're making me feel a bit sick and I don't like being on the website.
Yeah.
And there was that time when, I think he even got exposed for it. This guy, he was paying people for scat accounts, so his app was something like Bored in Bucks or something like that, and he just got exposed for sending girls, like asking girls to do bestiality and stuff like that. So he was paying scat people to do scat accounts where they sent like pictures of people like pooing. It was just so traumatizing. Like it happened to a good, like, I'd say about 30, 40 people, because we all just used to get added with pictures and you just had to keep blocking and blocking and blocking and blocking and blocking. And then they had like the specific avi of this little girl who, I swear to God, if I see her red, I will kick her face, because it was just so, like, it was so traumatizing to always see that. Like, you'd wake up, you just see it, and it's just like, you go private, you change your app, they'll find you again.
Wow.
Like, it was horrible. I think I have like 3 spare accounts now because I had to keep changing my app. It was terrible. So stuff like that, it doesn't make you want to be on the site anymore. It doesn't make you feel safe.
But this is it. We talk about street harassment, but online harassment is terrible, and we don't speak about it enough because I think it's a new culture, relatively new. I mean, we've had social media and the internet for quite a few years now, but it's the fact that we're still trying to work out the parameters of what is acceptable and what isn't. Mm-hmm. But online harassment is definitely, definitely up there with street harassment. I think it's even worse because they can create another account, come at you again, and you can end up not feeling safe there. Like, mm-hmm. even when I received a horse poo sent to me at my studio.
Horse poo?
Yeah, someone, horse manure, someone sent it, like, because apparently there are websites you can go to, and it's things like, oh, do you want to piss off your ex-girlfriend because she dumped you? Do you want to upset your boss because they're dickheads or whatever? Why don't you send them horse manure? And they route it through like Slovakia or Slovenia. They route it through there so it can't be traced back, because they promise you anonymity. And so you can send anyone horse poo or aubergines with their name on it or whatever. Just weird fucking stuff. And someone sent me horse poo.
I know there's
poo.
A glitter one as well. That yeah. must be very annoying.
So you open it and you just... See, because why are you so mean?
Like, that's joblessness. Again, why is your hate consuming to the point where you have to pay to send stuff to people?
You logged into this website and you were like, bah, 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 I want to send her horse poo because, you know, she wrote a tweet or she said something I didn't like. So I'm going to pay 16 euros and 3 euros for shipping and send this bitch something. Wow, thank you. So you spent all
you
of that money.
You so much.
All of that money.
I take up that much space in your mind.
Instead of you to use that money and buy me a book from my Amazon wish list, you went to go and do nonsense and to send me horse manure. And it was so hygienically packaged that it couldn't really offend me because it was packaged. I couldn't smell anything. It was in a plastic. It was labelled, you know. So what
even labelled as if, I don't know, you're going to eat it or something. Yeah,
100% organic. I was like, all right, cool. But, you know, what now? The only thing that got me about that is that people are really taking online drama and taking it into real life. Like, you're sending things to my studio, like my literal business. That's where you're sending things to. Mm-hmm. And so when that was reported to the police, they were like, wow, I haven't heard of that before. That's definitely a hate crime. Well, we're going to put it down as malicious communications. Again, the police are trying to figure out what do they call these things that are happening? Because so many different things are happening now. We don't even have a name for it yet.
I think it's the equivalent to, that's why I'm always in conflict about, you know, stuff like Curious Cat and Ask the Fem, because it allows people who think they're very much involved in your life to talk about you.
Yeah.
Say shit about you. Like, the amount of stuff I've gotten on there, So sometimes it's like I deactivate from it and then sometimes I'll go because I'm bored. Mm. But then at the same time, when I'm on there, like, I think, was it about 4 years ago, I got a question asked of him. And it's funny to repeat it, but at the time I was like, am I a dickhead? So they asked me, they said, like me, I'm sure your body count is very high.
Wow. Like me.
I was like, wait, hold on. What do you mean like me? Like,
what gave you that impression?
I was like, at that point, I was still a virgin. So I was like, are you sick? What do you mean, like me? And I was like, okay, first of all, yeah, she goes, I guess your body count must be very high. I said, first of all, unguess it. And second of all, listen, just tell you, because she was talking about her partner. She doesn't want to tell her partner that her body count is high. And I was like, what the fuck do you mean, like me? Like, do I look like
me?
Like, it's so... that it gives people so much space to talk shit. Like, people just love talking shit. And I just feel like... as a person, why does your hate consume you so much? Like, why are you still following me? Why do you care so much about what I'm doing?
But how can you say like me? The thing is, I don't have a problem. Like, body counts to me are mythological. They're ridiculous. Like, everyone mind your business. I do what I do. Leave me alone. Like, just mind your business. But it's the fact that you can look at someone and say their body count is high. What are you basing it on? You're basing it on their persona, because maybe they're someone that embraces their womanhood and they embrace their personhood, and people who do that must be, or they speak confidently about sex and about relationships that surely they must have had loads of sexual encounters in order to be able to speak. Or maybe they just have common sense. Maybe they're just emotionally well-rounded people. Mm-hmm. It can happen.
Like me. I need to find the screenshot because I couldn't believe it. I sent it to Samia and we were just... She was laughing. I was like, no, but are they mad? Like, are they actually mad? What do you mean, like me?
Like me.
What does that mean?
When did we have that conversation that we are alive?
When did I tell you that my body count was high? Like, wow. When did I ever tell you? It was so... Oh, gosh. Anyway.
Mad. And I think that's why I don't have Ask FM.
I don't think it'd ever be wise for you to have Ask FM. Oh, my gosh. I know they're waiting.
There are people that genuinely hate follow, who are just there. They won't unfollow you ever, but they're just there hatefully. There are some people that I've probably wronged them, or that I've spoken to them, told them about themselves, and they've been waiting for that day where they can say something back. And I would just never give them that thing. I won't give them that gift of, oh, you can message me anonymously. No, I still maintain that if you want to say anything to me, I'm open to hearing it. I'm open to listening to it, but you have to say it with your own mouth in front of me. Say it with your chest. So therefore,
say it like you're bad.
Right. Say it. So now if you get tumped in your lip, you know why that was, because just... You can't say... There's no honesty without consequence. You say something to people, you have to be ready...
To take whatever's coming.
So all of this freedom of speech. Yeah, freedom of speech and freedom for me to tump you in your clart. That's,
everyone's got freedom around here.
Right. So, no, Curious Cat, all of those things. I know that for someone like me, people are waiting. So many ashy black boys are waiting to be able to come. Why do you hate black men? Why do you hate us? Oh, because I point out your inconsistencies and the things that you do to black women that are unfair. I mean...
I think men in general are very, what's it called, sensitive. They're very big...
Fragile.
They're very crybabies. But them to be in charge of the free world is very crazy because they're very sensitive and crybabies. Yeah, and the reason why women shouldn't be because we're too sensitive.
We're emotional.
Okay.
We're emotional, but
you guys
cry
every
time. You
guys cry when you get told no.
Yeah, you're buying guns and shooting up countries. And wow. Okay, cool.
On... the topic of online harassment, there's a website where people talk shit about people on Twitter, Lipstick Alley. Don't know if you ever heard of it.
I've heard of it, but I don't...
It's a forum. So they talk shit about people. Like, from what I've seen, I don't even know. That was it. I was searching Jamila Girard just in general. I wanted to see what would come up. And then I just see I saw the Lipstick Alley thing pop up on Google. And I was like, what the fuck? What do you mean lipstick? What the fuck is this?
Yeah.
So I went on it and they basically talk shit about everyone. They probably even listen to this podcast for all I know.
Yeah.
So they go on there and there's like this whole thread and they've spoken about so many different people. Guys, if you listen, go onto it and search. Just go into Lipstick Alley and search. They talk about so many people. They gossip and it's so hateful. They're like, oh yeah, if you go to this place, you'll see this person and that. And like, if you go there and you see, like, so jobless. Wow. I never thought people can be as jobless as they were. Like, it is a very, very long thread that's been going on since, I think, from what I saw, was 2012 or something.
Wow.
And they just talk about people, they update people and stuff, and they just talk shit, so much shit about people. And I was just like, wow, this is the level of joblessness that you have reached. Like, you actually go onto websites to chat shit about because you hate them. Like, your hate consumes you to the point where you want to talk about people. And I think, I know gossip is like, you know... It's part of everyone's life and everything, but it's very, very jobless to go on the sites and just talk shit about people.
But you know, this, you is it worth seeing? You know, like when people tweet search their name, those things to me, they're not worth it because why am I going? It's like leaving my house to go outside to go and hear some people to go to a specific place where I know people
don't
talk
like
shit.
Me,
to go and I don't need to know,
especially with celebrities as well when they search their names.
And to me, when celebrities do that, is to me it just highlights that they are insecure and when you show that kind of insecurity, people will
poke at it.
Yeah, they'll grind you down. I don't search my name. I don't see any point in it. We are all growing, and so there might have been things that I would have said in the past or whatever. I don't even bother going to look back at it. I just leave it because one thing I've always said is that I'm on a journey of learning. It's when people try to pretend that they're perfect, that people go and dredge up tweets that you wrote ages ago and to go and say to you, oh, look you said this.
Say this.
Yeah. Whereas if anything, I'm a prick, but I'm a consistent prick. Like I've been...
I'm a cunt.
Yeah.
I'm a bitch. But, I know it.
Yeah, but I'm consistent with this shit. And the thing is, so if you look at 2012, the prick I was in 2012 is still pretty much the prick that I am now, but I'm learning exactly. I'm learning all the time. So there's no need to shy away and to erase the things that you've done in your past unless you feel like they were heinous. But make reference to it. Be like, rah, I'm taking this off because I saw what I wrote and I'm disgusted with myself. I'm taking that off for this reason. So embrace those things. But places like Lipstick Alley and things like that, if they, you know, if they're going around writing about people, I just feel like this is time that you could be using to better yourself and to do things that make you happy in life. Yet you're there talking negatively about people that you do not know.
And even if in itself as well.
And if you, even if you do know me, why aren't you bad enough to come and say it to my face? Why do you need to jump on a website to go and
anonymously?
Say it? Right, like, because you know I kick you in your
big
pussy.
Person.
That's
you're
why.
A big, big person. Right. I never understand it. You know, actually, don't go onto the website. It's actually self-care not to. Just
take care of yourself.
Nobody cares anymore.
Nobody
cares. Talk shit. Talk shit if you
until
like.
The day that you walk up to me, like forget even the internet, because you can write stuff to me on Twitter or whatever, like actually at me, and I'll just ignore you. Like I'll just ignore you, I'll just block you, because all I'm concerned about is I just need you to meet me in person to person, say that same thing again, run those same lines again. That's all I ask of you, and see what happens. That is it. If you can't say it to me in person, don't say it to me at all. And that's, I can back up anything that I've ever said. If I've ever tweeted at anyone, regardless of who it is, I'll see you in the street and I'll tell you that's what I said and what. Because it's about conviction and it's about integrity. So many people don't have integrity. That's why they have to run online and go and talk shit, because they could never say it to the person. And a lot of it is jealousy. Like, you are so pressed that another black woman is living her best life. She's looking...
I can do what I want.
Right.
I can say what I want.
I can say what I want. And people like me for it. That's what's burning me, because...
That's 100%. Doing what you want because you can, and because people still like you for it.
Yes.
Listen, be yourself. Every single time I've said this, always be yourself. Don't bother changing yourself to fit other people's ideals. Because if you change yourself, they may still not like you.
Yep.
If you're yourself, who gives a fuck if someone doesn't like you? Because that's you.
Yep.
That's always going to be you.
Yep.
So I've never in my life had to change myself for other people to understand me, for other people to like me. I don't care if you don't like me. So I don't like you.
Right. And I say all the time that I'd rather be hated for who I am than loved for who I'm not, because a lot of celebrities, 100%. That's where they find themselves. They're loved for the person that they are not. They're serving people an idea, an ideology that even they cannot live up to. So that's why some of them turn to drugs and things like that, because they're not allowed to live their truest selves. I will never do that to myself. I insist on living as conflictingly and as chaotically as I choose.
It's the biggest form of self-care.
Yeah, I might say something on Monday and come back and be like, rah, Tuesday, I've changed my mind, changed everything. I've now decided that. But that is what happens. In life, you can change your mind maybe 3-4 times in a day. You can change your mind so many times, and you are allowed that freedom. But some people, they're so scared of what will people think of me if I was my true self. So what they do is go and attack people who they see being their true selves, because they want you to come back into that shell, so you're all in a shell together, and it reaffirms their view of the world that people don't like you when you're you are being yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think once you truly know what it is to be happy and to love yourself as a woman, as a person, you will never want otherwise for yourself or anybody else. So I can't imagine looking at another woman and her body and what she's doing and go, she's ugly. I personally don't call people ugly anymore. Like, I can think your attitude is ugly. I can tell you that you're a prick, that you're a cunt.
Like, I can cuss you on so many other things other than your looks.
There are so many other things to cuss you on. Your intellect. I can drag you for so many other things other than your physicality, the way that you were brought into this world that was not of your choosing. I'm not going to bother with that. So what? So if I'm cussing a really conventionally pretty woman, what am I going to say to her? Because forget that. Forget how you look. Let me just tell you about who you are as a person.
Because as cliche as it is, beauty is an eye of the beholder.
This is it.
You can think you're beautiful. What am I going to say that's going to change your mind?
You think you're 100% British beef.
What can I say that is going to stop you from thinking that you're beautiful?
Right.
Nothing. But I can cuss you. I can say you're stupid.
Yes.
I can say you dress like a dickhead.
Yeah.
I can even say your parents raised you. They didn't even raise you. They dragged you.
You were raised by wolves.
I can say so many things. Yep. I can say you're... as a Nigerian, you know, we love to cast, you know, children, your yep. children, so your future children, I could cast them too.
I will There's take your entire village, your entire ancestry, I'll cast all of them out and tell them to come for me. What? Like, there are so many other things you can do, but people want to sit online and just insult people. Like, the number of guys, you know, most especially black guys, that will take time out of their day to come and tell me, oh, I don't really like muscular women. I just feel like...
Okay, but
so, yeah, certain parts of your body I like, but, you know, I can't really be dealing with a girl who's benching, you know, close to me or deadlifting what I'm...
No one cares if you're insecure, babe. Like, I get it. You can't. It's not my fault, though.
It's not my fault. Like, up your
get
game.
Your weight up. Step literally your, get your weight up.
Right. It's so it's to me. It's ridiculous because all I'm hearing is me. I'm inadequate and me.
I can't compare.
And so therefore, you need to bring it back down a notch because I can't meet you where you're at. You don't have to meet me. It's lonely up here, but I'm all right. You know, I've got books. Good. I've got snacks. I'm all right here by myself. You can stay where you are.
Well, that wraps up harassment, I guess. So, on today's asking for a friend, this is the first dilemma. Hey, she's already said what she knows the advice is.
Okay.
So I feel like the obvious advice to me would be to leave him alone, but I can't and don't want to. So that's already ruled out. That's already ruled out.
Okay.
I met this guy at the beginning of the year. He's not my type physically, but I really like him and his personality.
Mm-hmm.
We've spoken every single day since the beginning of the year. He's funny, smart, and in my opinion, perfect.
Mm-hmm.
He said the same about me, saying that I'm the entire package. We've had sex a couple of times recently, and he said that having sex with me has made him like me more than he does already.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to be with him and haven't felt this way before about any other guy. The problem is that he says because he's seen bad marriages and relationships around him, he doesn't want to get into one. I don't like the idea of having sex twice and having to cut him off because he's not where I'm at.
Mm.
Similarly, I can't force him, but I don't get how he can say I'm so perfect for him and not want to be with me.
Mm-hmm.
Your podcast is perfect and you give fair and honest advice. I don't get what I'm supposed to do. He said to me that us cutting each other off will be hard for both of us because we speak so much and he'll miss me.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to get into a friends with benefits situation with him just to keep him in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And all I want to do is just be with him and try and make him happy.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Right.
Yeah.
So, this is what I say when it comes to things like dilemmas. We all know what we should do. So, if we already know what we should do, then, I mean, what is the problem? You just used your finger energy to type all of that. Yet you knew the answer from the very, very beginning when you started writing that letter or that message in. If you slept with someone a couple of times, it's way too soon to even be thinking of things long term. Give people time. I'm not saying stick around when you know what you want and they've said already that they know what they want. But the thing is, just give things time to develop. No one can really know, as nice as it might sound that he's saying that you're perfect and you're the full package. He doesn't know you yet. He knows
he doesn't know anything about you at all.
You're, at the moment, you're still dealing with each other's representatives. You're still being your nice selves, your best selves. So talk to me in like a year. After you've been seeing each other for a year and he's gotten to see more of you, let's see then if he's still saying, I'm not saying that you can't be the perfect package or the full package or whatever, but let's see after a year what's happening then. Give people time to make up their minds or to explore different ideas. Sometimes we think, I mean, I know guys that I've been with who I've kind of thought, you'll never be my boyfriend. I don't want you to be my boyfriend because... I can't really roll out with you on road, but this, you know, like just because of interest, not even because like, they're ugly or anything like that. Yeah, I can't, apart from the physical attraction, we don't have anything past this. Only for me to discover that later on, you speak more, you stop seeing them so much as an object, a sexual object, and you realize that, oh, they're funny in this respect or whatever. Don't mistake that for being dickmatized, because some people then become addicted to the penis and then they start seeing things that aren't actually there. Yeah, like, but no, actually you start seeing them as a person, like a nice person. Like, oh, you're right, and you hang out more. But you might still, after hanging out more, be like, oh, actually I still don't want a relationship with this person, but it's been cool. There was one guy who I had that with for the longest time. He had his own place. It was really nice. He has an amazing job. He's a nice person. He cooks really, really well. He dresses incredibly well.
Wow, did we date the same guy?
And he's so lovely, but I just always made it clear to him, like, I don't want to be your girlfriend. And he was never disrespectful, never, like, of all the times, you know, he'd be like, oh, why don't you stay over? Here are my keys. Like, you can leave whenever you want. Why don't you just hang out for the weekend?
Did we really date the same guy?
We date the same guy. And I was just like, no, but keep your keys, because I don't want to now mess it up. I don't want to start muddling the waters. Yeah, so no, I don't want your keys, whatever. It's cool. And I haven't spoken to him in years now, but it's still amicable because I was very, very clear about what I wanted. And he was fine with that. If you're not fine with that, stay away. That's it.
See, but that's the thing. A lot of, I think with women, going with the flow triggers a lot of us, because going with the flow just equals us. He doesn't know what he wants. He doesn't know what he wants, but I'm just adjusting myself so until I'm what he wants.
Yeah.
That's what we see it as. And for me, myself, I will never adjust myself until I'm what you want. If I'm not what you want, let me bounce
this
now.
This is it. Let me be going.
Because I could be the perfect package, but if you don't want to be with me and I want to be with you, clearly there's a miscommunication.
Yeah.
You don't want what I want.
Yeah.
So there's no point in me sticking around to find out if you want what I want anymore. We might just be friends then. We could stay friends. I could be the perfect package in a friend.
Yeah.
I'm still pretty perfect. That could still be the same.
Yeah.
Because even like you said, with the perfect, well, who was more or less the perfect guy, he just wasn't perfect for me.
Yeah. At that stage in my life, he wasn't, you know, Nigerian. He comes from a good family.
Wait, hold on. No, seriously. Is it the same guy?
Has to be the same guy. Because there can't be that many of them.
Honestly, Nigerian? No, definitely must have been the same guy.
Must have. Because can't be. I'm struggling to see how there could be more than a few. But no, he was really, really, really nice. Like, really nice. Would call me all the time, would chat. And actually, I met him at a club. And so, you know, people often talk about, oh, well, when you meet girls at clubs.
Honest to God. Oh, my. Wow. Okay. Sorry, guys. Yeah, no. Had to be the same guy.
Must have. But, you know, the main thing for me, he's that I have the fondest memories of him because he wasn't ever, ever, ever disrespectful. Just so nice. And it showed me that a lot of the times where people think that dictuations or dick appointments and things like that have to be disrespectful.
Has,
you know, casual sex has to be a place where you disrespect people is so wrong. It depends on who you are having these you know, agreements and interactions with, because there are people out there that will respect you on both sides, women who will respect you and men who will respect you and treat you like a friend and care for you. You can care for someone and not want to be in a relationship with them, but I will never disrespect you.
I don't have to be I don't have to hurt your feelings. No. I don't have to hide that I just want this. I can be completely clear about everything that I want.
Yep. And it was just the best time to be able to, like, watch TV with someone, play video games with someone. He's made the meals and just be like, yeah, well, off home. Thank you. Thank you for a great time.
But it's time to go.
See you soon.
I think with this girl, I think what maybe she needs to create a boundary between.
Yep.
Like, just remain as friends, whether it's friends from afar, because clearly you don't want to leave him alone.
Yeah.
Clearly you think he's perfect and you two, you're perfect for him. If you're both so perfect, then it would have worked. And I always say this, if there's no such thing for me as right person, wrong timing, because if it was the right person, it will always be the right time.
Yeah.
It will never be that, oh yeah, this person suited me, but I was busy or not. Like, if the right person is right for you, the time will be right.
Definitely.
If the time is wrong, they're not the person for you.
Definitely.
No matter how compatible you are, no matter how great sex is, no matter how, you know, he's loved by your parents and all that, that's not the right person for you because the time was not right.
Yeah.
If someone is right, the time will come right, everything will be perfect. That moment will be perfect in itself.
Yeah, and it might not even be ideal, but because it's the right person, as you've said, you can work through it together and get to that point where everything supports the relationship that you have. I personally am not the kind of person to believe in the one that got away, because my personal relationship with God and the universe does not allow for anything that's good in my life to get away from me. I don't completely subscribe agree. To that at all.
The one that got away will never get away.
We'll never.
You're handcuffed for life.
Right.
If you are the one, you will never get away. What do you mean? I will find you at the end of the earth.
This is it. So I don't subscribe to that, but I empathize with that feeling that she has when you meet someone and you think that they're wonderful and then they kind of put that stopping the road where they're like, oh, that yeah, well, actually, yeah, I don't actually want to be in a relationship, or I don't want to be in anything long term. It hurts, but you have to realize that Naira Waheed, she has a poem that says, you never have to force someone to be ready. Someone can love you with all of their heart and still not be ready, but you should never have to convince someone to meet you at the bridge. There is a love out there for you that is ready.
That will come straight
yeah.
away.
So just keep living your life, because there's a love that will be ready. And there are so many perfect, in inverted commas, there are so many perfect people. You just have to be out there to meet them. So let this one chill.
Just be friends.
Yeah.
You don't want to let him go, so just be friends. Be friends from afar. Because I know you guys afar, will start doing the sex thing.
Exactly,
and then
friends from afar, then he'll want to go and get with someone else, and then you'll be that annoying girl who, I don't really know what your deal is with him. You don't want to go, but you don't want to stay. What is it?
You'll be that girl that, your best friend. Oh,
yeah, my best friend. Listen. She's like a sister to me. Well, I don't sleep with my sisters, so I don't understand
that.
No.
Listen, just try and stay apart from him, because it will help to understand where you're trying to go and where he's trying to go. If he says because he's seen bad relationships and bad marriages, then that's a red flag to me, because clearly he has his own issues to deal with.
Yeah.
He has his own demons to deal with. He has his own problems to deal with. So you coming into the mix, as perfect as you are, you can't fix that. He has to fix that within himself.
Yeah. And I think that when someone is able to articulate in the way that he has about the trauma that he has suffered, in the sense that he has seen a lot of bad relationships, he's able to tell you that. Some men aren't even able to tell you that. They can't tell you why they don't want to be in a relationship.
They just don't want
to. They just don't want to, because they haven't realized that probably it's because they've seen so many relationships fail, and that's jaded them, and they can't see any further than that. He is able to tell you. He's articulated, because tomorrow people will turn around and say, he strung me along. He has told you.
He's laid his cards on the table, he said everything. Like, there's no deception in it. There's nothing.
So if someone has now showed you who they are, like, why aren't you believing them? What are you waiting around for, really?
For them to kill you. That's what it is. You're waiting for them to kill you, because at that point you're waiting for him to say that, I really, really don't want you. You're probably going to have sex one day, you're going to say, I love you, and he's going to be like, what?
Like, what? Or he might say it back, but then it still
doesn't want it.
Yeah, it still doesn't want it. You can love someone and not want to be in a relationship with them. It is possible.
Exactly.
So why put yourself through that? Or maybe are you being impatient? Maybe you need to give people time to see that not every relationship is going to be like that relationship. Or whatever it is, you need to take a step back. You just need to take a step back and stop forcing.
Because unless you don't want one of those, what's understood doesn't need to be explained.
Yeah.
Dynamic, then you just need, because you don't want it. You said yourself, you do not want to be a fuck buddy.
Yes.
So don't be a fuck buddy then.
Simple. People always know the advice for themselves deep down. You don't need anyone. Everything we need to know, we already know within ourselves. And you said it at the very, very beginning of your letter. I know what I should do. I'm just not going to do it. So what do you want someone else to come and tell you after you've said that you know what you should do, but you're just not going to do it?
Maybe alternatives. I don't know any other alternative other than just,
but she's explored. Yeah, she's explored every alternative there is. I don't want to be this. I don't want to be that.
I don't want to leave him alone, but I don't want to be a fuck buddy. But all right, I don't want to leave him alone, but
okay,
I don't want to
be a fuck buddy. Well, go and put a string around your neck and hang yourself on his wall, because obviously you want to be a picture. That's all you want.
You
want
to be there in his life.
Yeah.
And when, if he decides, because the thing is, again, with him saying that he doesn't want a relationship, the right person, because you may be perfect, but you might not be right.
Yes.
So the right person will come along and change his mind, and it won't be you. So to protect yourself, it's either you get out of there while you still can, with your feelings intact, or wait until you love him and then you're fucked.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, okay. Second dilemma. Where is it? Okay. Hi, Sam and Jamila. I hope you're well. Congrats on the baby, Sam. Oh, thanks. So, I saw something Jamila tweeted the other day and it triggered me to send this in for some advice. So, I've been talking to this guy since January and things have been going great. I think we're on a great path. A couple weeks ago, we were just chilling when he got a phone call from a girl. He picked it up and they were talking for a good hour or so. That wasn't my issue. It was a friendly convo. Once he got off the call, he freely explained to me that it was his ex on the phone. Mm-hmm. This confused me because, in all honesty, he still talks to their ex in a friendly manner. I even thought he was joking. He told me he and his ex go way back and it was purely platonic. Now it's making me feel uncomfortable. I voiced this to him, of course, to which he responded that if I have a problem with it, then I should quote-unquote bounce. I don't know if I want to, considering that it's been great chemistry and even better sex, but I feel like his ex is going to continue to come between us. What should I do? like you said, bounce.
Well, it's really that simple. Like, he's given you an ultimatum. He said what it's going to be. What else is there there? I mean, let's just look at the situation and the utter bad manners that took place there.
He spoke to his ex for an hour.
And you two, you were there, gong.
You're just watching,
Abby, for a full hour, 60 minutes. Fam, he was on the phone to somebody for 60 minutes. He didn't even think to say, you know what? I'm with someone right now. I'm going to have to call you back. It wasn't his mum on the phone where he can justify the hour, or his dad, or his siblings.
It was his ex.
And they go way back.
Okay, go way back with her then. Go forward with her. Go everywhere with her. Forward, back, left, right. Every single way.
And, you know, for him to then be so defensive and to say, oh, yeah, well, it's either, you know, you deal with it or bounce. You know, that's told you who takes priority in that situation. So you might as well get to bouncing.
I think I know what she's even talking in reference to. I tweeted something like, I think someone asked a question, what do you do when you get with somebody and that's fresh out of a relationship? How do you go about it? And I said, you don't go about it. You're just fresh out of a relationship.
You're just a rebound. They might not even go back to that person, but they're with you as a space holder to work through their feelings whilst they prepare themselves for where they go next.
Yeah. That's it. You're a post-girlfriend fluffer. You're right. Not a pre, you're a post. You come right after. So just... bounce, like you said, bounce. I don't see there's no other alternative. I can say, like, oh yeah, work through it, I know, become friends with the girl, because
he's disrespectful. He's disrespectful from the moment he went and spoke on the phone to her for 60 minutes. That's where the disrespect began. And so from then I pretty much stopped listening, because all I heard was 60 minutes disrespect done
to his ex.
Yeah, because like, I would have bounced from there. I wouldn't even have waited for an explanation. You go way back, but this is the first time I'm hearing of it. Like, I don't,
and I've been seeing you since January,
right? Yeah, and no. It's now in big May. That
unbelievable. Like, no, there's no way I could be chilling with a guy and he starts talking to his ex for 60 minutes. Why do you go marry her then? What are you talking about? What's so interesting?
Were they in the same room? I mean,
yeah, she said it was. She said it was a friendly convo. That wasn't my issue.
Okay, so that should have been your issue. That should have been the issue, because there was nothing of pertinence. There was nothing of urgency. There was nothing of urgency in that conversation. It wasn't like, oh, babe, I can't call anyone else but you. My leg's fallen off. There was nothing. There was nothing of urgency there. She just wanted to chat. And so what's happening there is that two people are taking you for a mug and you don't have two handles. This is the thing. One person can take you for a mug. You have one handle. No, you're not a jug, is what I'm trying to say.
Because
she's disrespecting the thing, because she's just calling me phone anyhow. Well, no, forget her, because she probably doesn't even know that you're there. But he knew that you were there right by him, and he persisted in having a conversation with someone for 60 minutes. Did he even make reference to the fact that you were there? Did he even go, you know, I'm just here with my babes, we're just watching TV, so what's going on with you? He didn't know, you weren't mentioned.
You're a non-factor in your own situation.
Right.
As Evelyn
said. You're a footnote in your own story. Look at your life.
So I think you should bounce, as he said. For me, I feel like guys who are fresh out of a relationship are a red flag.
Listen, yep.
I once spoke to a guy who had broken up with his girl for like 2 years prior, like 2 years ago, they had broken up. And they were still like seeing each other. I was like, okay, well, I've got to bounce, because clearly you guys have issues that you have not sorted out in the past 2 years.
Yeah, yeah.
So I can't be involved in this. So me too, I bounced.
Yeah, yeah. And that's it. And that's what anyone should do, because you know the unhealthy dynamics when you see it. People who insist on remaining friends after a relationship rarely do so for healthy reasons. They don't. They simply don't. Yeah. It's dependent, and it's unrequited. It's unresolved issues between them, and one person probably wanting to redeem themselves because they didn't do what they needed to have done in that relationship. And, you know, let's just be friends. We can't just be friends if we ended badly.
When all of that energy went into that relationship.
Yes.
And now we're friends. So why are we just friends now?
Right.
Why are we able to be friends?
Especially if they treated you badly within the relationship. Imagine someone cheating on you. Imagine someone talking to you disrespectfully throughout a whole relationship. And then it ends and they say to you, oh, let's just be friends. You were never my friend in the relationship. So how are you going to be my friend outside?
No. Bounce, babe. Bounce, like he said. Bounce like a basketball.
Yes.
Bounce the fuck out of there.
Simple.
Keep bouncing till you can't see him no more.
Yep.
Like, there's no point in putting your energy into this, because for all you know, he could all just go back to her. Like, one day he'll be like, oh, yeah, me and, I don't know, Lisa fell in love again. Yep. You know, I just proposed to her. Like,
there's just a lack of regard for you. Like, I can't imagine my ex, because there are some exes that I keep in contact with, and I can't imagine my fiance sitting there next to me and I'm on the phone to one of my exes and like for 60 minutes.
I would have thrown a cushion at you. Like, are you sick?
Cushion. The kind of person that my partner is, he will just calmly remove the phone from my hand and press you just end the call for me. Because since I was incapable of ending that call for myself,
maybe you need help.
It won't be anything violent. You'll just take the phone and just help me end it. Because, you know, just to remind me of who I am.
I don't even talk to my mum for 60 minutes. Like, what kind of conversation needs to go on for 60 minutes?
I don't even like telephone calls. That's the wickedness. I don't like telephone calls. So who am I speaking to for 60 minutes on the phone? If she did know that you were there, she did know that he's seen someone and she called like that, assuming that maybe you were there. That's a power play. She's letting you know that I can ring your man whenever. Yeah, I can ring your man whenever, wherever, and have him on the phone for however long. But I'm not going to give her sinister motives. Maybe she doesn't know. He knew, and he was the one that was meant to respect you, and he didn't. If someone's told me to bounce, I beg, let me get to bouncing.
Let me get my shit. Like Bob Risky says,
I can't come and kill myself. So
I cannot. I can't do it, please. You know, my mom didn't kill me. I cannot die. So you yourself, you don't have the power to kill me.
No.
No one else can come and kill me if my mom hasn't killed me.
No. And how fine is someone that you need to take that?
You're not the first fine person in the world.
Right.
I mean, guys, I don't think guys are attractive on a whole, but, you know, you're not the first fine.
They're not attractive beings, are they?
I guess that's why they have to, like, you know, build up their personality, because they're not really always attractive. No. I guess with girls, you know, we're just...
Naturally, we are mentally too. We have just more going on. They're just so blah. The equivalent would be you're out to dinner, you're out having dinner with your guy, and she walks in and she sits down and they have a conversation for an hour and you're sitting there. Nobody refers to you.
Nobody talks to you.
Right.
Nobody gives you any kind of convo. They don't even ask you to pass anything.
Right. You're just there. You're just there. Would that be okay? Would that feel okay? You obviously know what he's done is wrong, and it's unfair. So just come and be going.
Because if you flipped it, if you were sitting with him one day and your ex called you and you started talking for an hour, he'd be thinking, wait, am I a dickhead?
Yeah.
Like, why is she talking to her ex for an hour?
Yes.
About what? What could they possibly be talking about?
What are you talking about?
What is so funny? Why is she making you laugh?
I know, Mandem. I know he still wants you, and that's why he's on the phone to you. So I beg, just don't speak to him again. Oh, so you always know the ulterior motives of other men.
But you don't seem to understand your own.
Right.
That's interesting. That's very interesting. Okay. So if you can speak to your ex, why can't I speak to my ex? No. What? I might as well go suck his dick. For me, I might as well.
Right.
Because it's the same thing. It's the same thing. The same sort of disrespect.
Right.
I might as well just go back and go suck his dick. Same thing.
Yeah. So no. Be bouncing.
So, yeah, that pretty much wraps up today's show. You guys know the drill as usual. Send your dilemmas to curiouscat.me/thepinkmatter or pinkmattercontact@gmail.com. Same with any business inquiries. If you'd like to be advertised on the show, send them to pinkmattercontact@gmail.com. Anybody that wants to be a guest co-host, again, email, or mostly I prefer DMs because I get to know who you are and how your tweets are. So DM the Pink Matter. Don't DM me personally. It's a bit... But yeah, DM the Pink Matter. I may not reply, but I've seen it. I've definitely seen it. And yeah, thank you so much for coming on
my show. My pleasure. It's been so fun. I've had the best time.
I really love today's topic. and don't forget,
on Wednesdays we listen to Pink Matter.